Chavos Halvavos Shir and Shara Bitachon, Women's Shir, Wednesday afternoon, Yud Aleph Tammuz. Okay, so we're at the end of the Psicha. We still don't know, well, we know what Bitachon is, perhaps. Certainly, as we learn through the Shar, we're going to learn all the nuances of Bitachon. We know what it is already in a general way. We didn't really start yet. I'm what do they call in football? I'm running out the clock. Okay, it's 12:15 on the dot. So we have a general idea of what Bitachon is. We'll certainly learn the nuances as we go through the Shar. But more importantly, and I know I keep saying this, so good, I'll say it again. The Shar's purpose is to teach you how to develop Bitachon, not really to teach you what Bitachon is. We will see what it is as we learn it. But the workshop, the teaching of how to develop it, which is the purpose of the Sefer Chavos Halvavos, is to teach you how to develop, how to acquire, how to attain the various things that are the Sha'orim. So we're coming to the end of the Psicha. He said, like, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. This has benefits in Ruchnius. We had to define it, or else it would be difficult to talk about its benefits. So we know it's relying on Hashem. And if you ever find yourselves not being attuned to the precise point, just remember the sentence that you always rely on someone. On someone or something for anything we do. We're always relying on someone. We're always making assumptions that we wouldn't do things. We would be paralyzed, or we would either be paralyzed or we would be very stressed. We wait for a bus. So why aren't we nervous? Well, usually we're not. Because we assume we're relying on Eged to send it at the right time. And you're relying on the Eged that the driver is not drunk, or you're relying on the driver that he's not overly tired, or we're always making assumptions in life. So Bitachon is to realize that there's only one source of reliance, and it's an active verb, and we have to train ourselves to do it, because we don't naturally do it, because Hashem is invisible, and not only is He invisible, but most of the time the fact that what happens in the world is a totsa'ah of His will is also hidden, because we see causes and effects, and therefore it's difficult, but we have to train ourselves. I'm relying on Hashem, not relying on the job interview, I'm not relying on the shadchan, I'm not relying on the doctor, I'm really relying on Hashem, who works and will work His will through these channels. Through the channels of sometimes natural channels, sometimes hishtadlus channels, etc. So, but it has so many benefits, Bitachon. So first he has a list, we're at the end of the Psicha, I'm going it over to sort of sum it up. First the spiritual benefits, then the physical benefits, meaning benefits of spirituality, benefits in Olam Hazeh, in Gashmius. The primary benefit, he says, in spirituality, and we talked about it a long time, because he seems to be saying it's lack of stress, and why that's a different one, or just, the point is, you're close to Hashem, you're living with Hashem, if you develop this midah, there's nothing greater than that, because we want to be karov to Hashem, that's what we want our neshamas to be. And we want to be bonded with Hashem and Shivis Hashem Lenegdi Samid. And if you train yourself to say, you know, I'm relying on the recipe to produce a good salad, you say, I'm really relying on Hashem, because if not for Hashem, I don't have any salt. Or you mistake the salt for the sugar. I mean, there's millions of things that can happen. We know that. And we should know that. And that's what we'll be learning about as we go through the Shar. So benefit number one is you're living with Hashem. And it's good to practice in the most ordinary of circumstances. That's how you'll develop it when we're in a crisis and we have trouble, and all of a sudden, Kaili Kaili Lama Azavtani, and you develop the thought that Hashem is controlling everything in our lives when you're not in crisis mode. So then, you know, it's easy. It's harder and it's easier. It's harder to naturally think that way, but it's easier to train yourself to think that way because, yeah, Hashem's making the bus come on time, and Hashem's making the milk be in the makolet, and Hashem is this, you know, and then when there's a crisis, then you have to pull out that's when you need strength. Just like you need strength when you're in a crisis, you need physical strength. So when you're in a crisis, you need spiritual strength. Okay, so that was the first spiritual benefit, the major one probably. The second one is you're free of you can develop your own values. You're not afraid. Ma yaseh adam li, Hashem li lo ira, ma yaseh basar li, and sometimes the pasuk says ma yaseh adam li. The third is you're stress free and you can devote the part of your life that you have time to devote to spiritual pursuits. Because when you're stressed, so then you're nervous, and that takes up a big part of our lives, because then we do things to compensate for the nervousness, and like, but if this fails, I have to do this, and then what about this, and you have to cover all the bases, you think, and you don't have time for anything. So that was benefit number three, and then he talked about the alchemist, because the person we imagine has the most stress-free life is a person with a limitless supply of money. And then he goes through 10 things in which the alchemist will worry, because as he will define bitachon in Perek Aleph, and this is really the test of, should I do this? Can I do this? Can I do that? That's not really the question. The question that you should look in the mirror and ask yourself is, will I be stressed if I do this? Will I be nervous if I do that? And then if the answer is yes, then you know, it's not a manifestation of bitachon, no matter how big a tzaddik you are. You can go on the roof and jump off and say, I have bitachon, Hashem's going to save me. It's an absurd marshal, right? But, you know, I have bitachon. But if you're stressed, you don't have bitachon. That is really a litmus test. Now again, we're not going to walk out of here perfect people. We're going to work on it. But that is ultimately the test of having bitachon. So the alchemist is still stressed. And he lists 10 things in which the alchemist is stressed. And he says, a Baal Bitachon is not stressed about anything, because Hashem is omnipotent, omniscient, and he doesn't fall asleep, and he's covering everything and all the relationships. You know.
Well,
yeah.
So circumstances happen, and you are stressed. And
yeah.
You just are. It's not like
so you have to say, did I miss the Bitachon Shiur this week on Wednesday? That's your first question. We grow. We're not perfect. We're human beings.
When you feel the stress and you say, oh, wow, now I don't have Bitachon.
Right, and I don't have Bitachon and I have to work on it. So the best, again, we're going to learn how to develop Bitachon. This is really a question for you after we finish. The simplest thing is to make a list of the 7 things in Perek Beis. That's the simplest thing. And to look at that card. Mrs. Manricks once had a printed card of the 7 things. Hashem loves me. Hashem is aware of everything that's going on in my life. Hashem cares about me. Hashem doesn't neglect anything going on in my life. There is no other power in the world that can do anything for me other than Hashem. And up down to number 7, which Hashem will do for me even if I don't deserve it. Whew. I was like, if not for that one, it just wouldn't work. Right? That's why it's so important. That's why the Chazal Bavos repeats it so many times throughout Shaar HaBitachon, because he knows that we're all walking around with guilt feelings about, because we know what we are. And if you're not walking around with guilt feelings, then you're a tremendous Balgaiva. Okay, so that was number 3. Number 3 was stress-free. Number 4 was, 4 and 5 are about money. And again, let's use this money when he's talking about Olam Hazeh and Gashmius and involvement in Olam Hazeh. So number 4 was that you will use money as a kli for Avodas Hashem, whether you have it or you won't have it. You know, the spiritual benefit, if you have bitachon, is that anything that goes on in your life, you will use as a kli for avodas Hashem. If you're stuck in traffic, you will say, oh, I can use this to develop patience. I can use this to not get angry. And you will use either money, so he says money or lack of money, and he explains in each one how. I'm not going to go over everything. This is in the psicha benefit number 4 of spiritual benefits. He talks about money. You will use money or the lack thereof as a kli for avodas Hashem. If you have money, you'll spend it happily doing mitzvahs. And if you don't have it, you will be thankful to Hashem that you don't have the responsibility of having money. It's a difficult responsibility. There's a terrifying story in Ksubis about Shasta Churban. Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai saw, and it turned out it was Choni Amagel's daughter, and she was picking pieces of straw out of the dung of animals to have something to eat. And she says to him, Rebbe Parnaseini, and who are you? And whole story. And then the Gemara says, Choni Amagel, it says, your father gave so much tzedakah. How is it possible? And the Gemara gives 2 terutzim, but one of them is he didn't give as much as he should have. And that's very, very scary. That's that. So as I say, what do I do, Rav? So you schedule a meeting with me, and again, Hashem allows us to be normal people. We're not holding by giving away all of our money except enough to buy day-old bread and some putrid water, right? You can have a little salt with the bread, it's okay. And, that was just a joke. Hashem wants us to be normal, but again, it's the idea. And if you learn Masil Sisharim, you'll see the same idea. You know, a person, on one hand, you're not supposed to walk around stressed. It's a difficult balance, you know. You walk around besimcha, and you're confident, and you're happy, and you're optimistic. And on the other hand, you always have to be on the alert that you're doing everything right. And the Masil Sisharim stresses how even our mitzvahs have to always be held under the light of self-examination. Am I doing it l'shma? That's a yirei chet. Now, yirei chet in the Masil Sisharim is the last, highest madrega. You know, Masil Sisharim. It is a reality. It is a reality. It's something that you have to keep in mind. Okay. So yeah. No, I said we're not going to, and we don't. Hashem doesn't expect us to. In fact, you're not allowed to give more than a. You're not allowed to. Most shittos hold you're not allowed to give more than a fifth. Okay, and number. Don't thank me. Thank Hashem. I don't write the rules. And number five. It's very, very similar. 4 was more general. You'll use it as a kli for avodas Hashem. And number 5 was money or the lack thereof won't block you from having bitachon. You know, that's the biggest downer to bitachon. Either having money is kochi vosim yadi. It naturally leads to that. The Chumash is full of such a fear, and history has borne out that fear that when things are going very well and you have plenty of money, we say it every day in Krishna. Hishamru lachem pen yiftel levavchem v'sartem v'avadetem elohim achirim v'shtachav yisem lahem. Right? When things are going well, we tend to forget about Hashem. And historically that has been born out. We don't think so when we're poor. We say, oh, let me just win the lottery, Hashem. I'm going to become such a tzaddik. But history has shown that it's not like that. And certainly the lack of money and poverty, where we look for people to blame, and Baal Bitachon doesn't do that. I mean, so it doesn't stop you from Bitachon, either being poor or being rich. That was number 5. That's a spiritual benefit. Then he gives a list of physical benefits. The first one is you're stress free. And if you ask any doctor, he'll tell you that's a tremendous physical benefit. In the literature, it says that most diseases are caused by stress and worry. And certainly we know what it does to our relationships, and what it does to our shalom bayis, and what it does with our kids. You know, it's a... Just don't stress about being stressed. Number two and three is that you don't... I'm putting them together, because Chazalovas makes a point. His point is, you don't take a job that is... that renders you... that's bad for you. That renders you dysfunctional. I'm making it into more of a clown. He talks about traveling long distances. He talks about back-breaking labor, coal mines, maybe. He talks about things that give you a bad reputation, like being a politician. That's what he says, not me. And, don't take a job that's not good for you. Whether maybe something... it renders you dysfunctional, certain things. And that's a physical benefit, because it ruins your relationships and you become a workaholic maybe, and different things that are not good. So if you have bitachon, you don't fall into these traps. That was number two and three. Number four is, you learn how to cope with frustration, because you're frustrated, you have a slow month, or you didn't earn a bonus this month, or you didn't get customers this month, so you get very frustrated. So, and you eat yourself up, and then you start doing things, and someone comes to you, they have a surefire method, an investment that's 100% safe, and you fall for it because you're aggravated. And so it helps you cope with, you learn how a Baal Bitachon copes with frustration. You're just going through a list of benefits. And now we're up to number five, and we'll return to the text. By the way, you might not recognize number four. He talks about nervous about inventory, and you don't have enough inventory, and you have too much inventory, you have too little inventory. I'm just going beyond that example, and I'm calling it coping with frustration. Okay. And he mentioned there a beautiful, beautiful sentence that the Baal Bitachon knows, that Hashem is bocher. I just have to read this sentence. This is what we call a refrigerator sentence. This is worthy of being put up on the refrigerator. Hashem is bocher lo tov, yoseh mimashu bocher liatzmo. Hashem will do better for you than you would do for yourself. And if you really believe in Hashem, it's almost an obvious statement, because we don't know what's good for us. We know what feels good, we know what seems good, we know what's superficially good, we know what's pleasurable, but we don't know what's good for us. And my mother, Shalom, always said to me, if you know what's good for you, you'll... But I think she meant avoiding a patch on the toilet. I think that's what she was talking about. Okay. That was number four. And then finally, this is the last, and this is the end of the psicha. Umehen, and of those physical benefits, this is number five. And this is terrific. This is, Mamash, if you could do this, your besimcha. You walk around with a smile on your face and a lilt in your voice. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's koilisha, if you talk like that to a man, if you have a lilt. Maybe. And I mean, some poskim hold talking is kolisha, yeah. Some people hold that. So I don't know how they lived. I don't know what society looked like, but there are poskim that hold like that. Umehen simchaso b'chol inyan. You're happy with whatever Hashem throws your way, whether it's a softball down the center of the plate and you hit it, and his base is loaded, and you hit a home run. Or whether he threw you a curveball, or sometimes he throws you a beanball that hits you in the head. And you're just happy. You're happy. You're happy with whatever Hashem throws your way. That is a physical benefit of having bitachon. Simchaso. Because when you're besimcha, that's like much better than just saying you're stress free. Allah just describes in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh two reactions to difficulties in life. One is of a ma'amin, you know, a Lamamin. One person grits the teeth and bears it because Hashem is Hashem. What am I going to do? I can't fight City Hall. That's a pretty low madrega. For us, it's a high madrega, but the Chayyim Halavos is a low madrega. And then there's a person that's not gritting his teeth because he's smiling. I guess you could smile and grit your teeth, but he's really smiling, so he's not gritting his teeth. He's besimcha, which is, we always talk about it. That's like amazing. If a person could reach that madrega, it's an amazing thing. But that's what he says. Yeah, but here he's talking about it being a physical benefit. You're besimcha no matter what happens to you. You know that Hashem is doing it. V'mye k'negativo, even though it's something that is obviously something that, if it was up to him, he wouldn't have chosen this to happen. I mean, right? U'mipnei b'tchono b'alokim, but because of your relying on Hashem, and part of that reliance is that Hashem is picking out what's best for you, right? If we really, really believe that. You know that obnoxious neighbor you have? Hashem made them move there. Hashem wanted you to be near an obnoxious neighbor. And that's the best thing in the world that could have happened to you. And that is objectively true. No, we have to internalize it, feel it. And it's not always clear what is good about it. It might teach us to become big Bali Midos. It might be Yisurim, that Mechaper. It might, who knows what it is. But we don't have to know. We don't have to have figured it out. The storybooks, you know, the stories don't always have a happy ending. And you don't always know. We don't always know. Sometimes we go to the grave and we don't know. But that should not affect our simcha, because we do know the reality. A, Hashem is running the world, and B, Hashem is only doing for us hatov lo b'chol inyan, kasher taseh ha'aim. And now everybody can relate to this. Because Allah said, what do you want? Hashem is diapering you, and the baby's kicking and screaming and crying, and it hurts or it's uncomfortable. And it's flailing away, and it's like hitting the mother, like, you know. And when the mother's cleaning the baby, the mother's diapering it. That's what the Chayyim Halavos says. Kasher tasei machomelus lebna. The mother only has motherly feelings towards the child. Berechitzaso, she's washing the child, cleaning the child. Bechitulo, diapering the child. Kshiraso, she's tying the diaper on. Batarosso, al karcho, the baby's like kicking and screaming. We know that. Moshe Amar David Olav Hashalom. And no one, I don't know if we could find someone who had a more difficult life than David HaMelech. We romanticize David HaMelech because he's David HaMelech. But if you go through his life, and he said, from when he was thrown out of the house as a young child to his son rebelling against him and wanting to kill him, probably the whole gamut of his life, and a heck of a lot in the middle, if you know Yonach. And he said, "Imloishi visi v'damamti nafshi," I was quiet, kigamul aleimo, and my attitude was more than quiet, so to speak. I felt towards Hashem like an infant, aleimo kigamul alei nafshi. So David HaMelech is that pasuk. Is the potuk that talks about a young infant, and Hashem is carrying us in His hands, and what did I say? It's great. So okay, that's the benefit. So that's five benefits spiritually, five benefits in the physical world, and now we're going to learn. Now we're going to start learning about Bitochan, how to develop it. Again, as we learn how to develop it, we'll be learning more about it. And we'll see more nuances, and we'll develop a feeling for hishtadlus, and we'll develop a feeling for all the questions that come up in life. Okay, that's why we're learning this. V'chivin shebiyarti mitoelios habitochon belokim. I've just given you the list of the benefits of bitochon in Hashem. V'hana osav, and what is derived from it, the benefits derived from it, b'Torah, in spiritual matters, u'ba'olam, mashim ezamin li, very good. I love this many times throughout the Sefer. Hello, I'm in a giving a shiur now. Please call me at 1:35. Okay. Mashim ezamin, he throws in these very, very humble man. And he throws in like Mashiach is dominantly. You know, there's more probably, but this is what I figured out. This is what I. This is what came to mind as I was writing the Sefer. Avor me'ata, and now I will explain me'inyan abitachon shiva dvarim. I will explain seven things, and wouldn't you know it? There's seven prakim in shar habitachon. Amazing, mamish amazing. Echad mehem mahu habitachon, defining it. But not defining it the way we struggle to define it, because we're not sure what word, what it means. So we ended up saying relying on Hashem. He doesn't defining it in that term. He's defining, because he's going to say it's like three lines, relying on Hashem and not being stressed. That's what he means by defining it. It's outsourcing all your worries. And all the things that have to happen, you're outsourcing it, not to China, not to Japan, not to the Philippines. You're outsourcing it to Hashem. So like you're finished now, you can go enjoy life. You've outsourced all your troubles. V'hasheni, number two, b'sibus ha-bitachon al ha-bruim. What does it take to have bitachon? Not Hashem, nothing to do with Hashem. He gives a logical breakdown of, if I want to have bitachon in the bank, so what would I need to have bitachon in the bank? What would create bitachon? So that's in the second parak. And he lists seven things you need to develop bitachon, and they're all based on the premise of parak one. That if you're still stressed, you're not there yet. So it's the seven things that would eliminate stress and worry and anxiety. That's in parak two. Tashlishi already is Hashem oriented. The five things you need, or the bir ha'akdamos, the premises, Hashem ba'avur and yischayev ha'bitachon belokim, which are the cause mechuyev really means obligated to, but he means mechuyev in a deeper sense than obligated to. If I owe someone $10, we use the word chayav. But it doesn't mean just that I'm obligated to pay him back. It means I owe him. I owe him $10. I borrow $10 from him. I owe him $10. So we owe Hashem bitachon. I like to say, bitachon is really only facing the reality that a believing Jew faces. That's really all it is. It's, you know, the people that say you got to be pragmatic, you got to be practical, you gotta live in the real world, they're the ones living in the fantasy world. In the fantasy world where you are the master of your fate. And that's a fantasy world to the believing Jew. B'chiva esek b'sibos, parak 3 will, you know, again, the sigh of relief goes across the room. B'chavis halvavis recognizes ishtadlos. Because we can't imagine like just having bitachon. Hashem needs our help a little. Chas v'shalom. Baravi b'vir advarim asher behem yah bitachon b'chiyuv shvacho gnusu behem. Four is marvelous. Four is life. He goes through life. He breaks down life into your relationship with Hashem, your relationship with other people, your relationship with your friends. Good things happening to you. Bad things happening to you. It's like if you're giving a workshop, number four is the play acting or the role playing. Number four is he goes through life and he tells you, okay, if you have bitachon, this is how you will react. Based on the principles we learned in Perek Gimel, which is based on the definitions in Perek Beis, which is based on the definition of Perek Aleph, that it means not to be stressed. Perek Beis says, okay, what do I need to have bitachon in anybody or anything? Perek 3 is the five things you need to have bitachon in Hashem, really four. 5 talks about ishtadlus. And Perek 4 says, okay, how are we going to apply this in in real life. Right, this is all very nice, Rabbi Milanowitz or Rabbi Chavis, I love this. But what do I do when I get fired? What do I do when I'm sick? What do I do when tragedies occur? What do I do when great things happen to me? I've learned Perek 1, 2, and 3. What does that tell me? And Perek 4 tells you. This is what Baal Bitochon, this is how Baal Bitochon reacts, and he goes through life. Mamish, he goes through life. That's Perek 4. The Chamishi is Behefresh Yesh Ben Esek Abotech Belokim Besibus Haterif Uben Esek Mishen Abotech Belokim Bohem. Perek 5 is like very cute. I have different theories why he wrote Perek 5. It's, I don't understand. I'm living the same life. I go to Rabbi Milanowitz's class and I love the class, and I'm always thinking about Bitochon, I'm always thinking about Hashem. I don't see that my life is materially different than that guy, that gal down the street, who I know doesn't, well, first of all, you don't know, but how is my life different than her life? What am I gaining out of all of this? As if, you know, we could talk about who says you have to gain anything, but he goes through the differences, and he goes through simple differences, and I always say, what did he write the parrot for? So I have two theories. One is, so you know who to be friends with. If you see someone acting a certain way, you go, bam, that's a Baal Bitochon, a Baal As Bitochon, I'm going to be friends with them. And also, if you're not sure about yourself, that's what I realized, I came to realize after a few years, that it's what you should, when you're looking in the mirror, what you should look for, okay? I walk around with a frown. That's not good. That's not good. Why am I walking around with a frown for? I guess I don't have bitachon, or I have to work on my bitachon. And he has, because outwardly it might be the same life. Because he doesn't say the Baal Bitochon won't work, and the Baal Bitochon will work, and the not Baal Bitochon will work, and the Baal Bitochon won't go to a doctor, and the not Baal Bitochon will go to. No, nothing. Same life. So where's the difference? He tells the difference. The difference is, it's night and day is the difference. But it maybe takes a discerning eye to see it. Well, maybe sometimes not such a discerning eye. Okay, we'll see when we get up to the fifth parak in a couple of years. Vahashishi, number six. Nobody can deal with number six. Number six ostensibly says, I'm going to say it now in the worst possible way that I'll tell you, can we skip that parak? Is don't put away money in a retirement fund. Number six is that the Baal Bitochon is not busy doing things to assure their future. That's really more precisely what he says. They don't mortgage, and this is the real pshat, and if you learn it superficially, you could misunderstand, because his examples sound like he's saying don't put money in a retirement fund. But what he's saying in Perek Vav is don't mortgage the present for the future. And he says people do that. People are always doing that. And I'm adding to what he says. He talks about money. I'm talking about choosing where to live and choosing your friends and choosing all sorts of choices in life. We mortgage our present because of fear of the future. And that's what number six says here. Not going to do that. And he says logically why it makes no sense to do what you're doing. And he wraps it around, of course, bitachon. But he points out very specifically why you're acting foolishly, why you're acting wrongly, what's wrong, your attitude is all wrong, etc., etc. That's in Perek 6. That's a couple of years plus. Vashishi bibiro fani chiyuv gnus das haomim ba'arichos ha'tayves ba'olam umiachlem nafshosam b'kavolos avodos alokim k'shayi lechetzam bo. Say, he talks about a person that says, a man saying, you know, I'm going to work from morning to night. I'm not going to make, Rabbi Lewis says I should make a seder in shul. I have a much better idea. I'll work as much as I can. I'll save up money. I'll retire at 40, and I'll learn a whole day. That makes more sense to me than struggling to make ends meet and learning every day for an hour. I'll learn a whole day. right? And then he dies on his 40th birthday. Chas v'shalom. But that's what he's talking about. Like mortgaging the present for the future. That's the fifth parak, the sixth parak. Vashvi, well, he's not talking about the prokem. I cheated. I told you a secret. He says, I'm going to list seven things about bitachon that I'm going to teach you. Vashvi, b'mafsidei ha-bitachon belokim. What spoils bitachon? I say reading a newspaper, talking to people who use the word pragmatic, practical, and be a realist. He doesn't say that, but I say it. That's the worst thing. It's hard. Bitachon's tough. And Perek Zion gives you warning signs what to stay away from. What makes it more difficult to develop bitachon? And then he gives a summary and make a kiddush and a siyum. Then you have bitachon olakatzer b'chalokom. He gives a summary. And we developed, the last time we learned this, a bell curve. Maybe some of you remember. We developed a bell curve of bitachon. Nice, because I figured out something that I didn't understand for years and years and years. And that's why I like giving the class. I am the one that benefits most from the class. Okay, let's start Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph is very short. Ach mechus ha-bitachon, the essence of bitachon. Again, he calls it, he's defining it, but he's not really defining it, because he knows what the word means, and we're using the English word to rely, except not a passive reliance, not relying on Hashem. No, it's an active reliance, because you always rely on something, and we train ourselves on relying on Hashem. It's like an active act of mental exertion. I'm relying on Hashem. The essence of it is Menuchas Nefesh HaBoteach. If you're relying on Hashem, you outsourced it to China, to the Philippines, and you're home free. You're calm. You outsourced it to the boss. You really did. And Menuchas Nefesh HaBoteach. Actually, he's not really talking about Hashem in Perek Aleph and Beis. He's more interested in giving a precise, accurate definition and explaining its essence. And he turns on the Frumkeit faucet in Perek Gimel when he starts talking about Hashem. Now he wants to define the term. So the same thing would be true if you want to have bitachon in your boss, or in the bank, or in your oven, or in your friend. So the bitachon is not being stressed because you're relying on the person you outsourced it to, or the power you outsourced it to. And therefore, v'shiyir libo sabuch, you're relying on mishem poteach olav. So you're relying, you're being solmech on the person that you have, on the thing, on the object of your bitachon. You're relying on him. So you're calm because, I tell someone to go to the bank for me, and I trust them. And let's say I could trust them, even though we'll have to go through the seven things in Perek Beis to see if I can really rely on them to go to the bank for me. But let's say I can, so I'm calm. I'm not nervous. I know the deposit's going to be made. My checks are not going to bounce. I gave it to someone to do, and they're doing it. I don't know if it's being done. Yeah, I can be nervous. I can call them every 45 seconds on the cell phone. Did you make the deposit yet? Did you make the deposit yet? Was the bank open? How long is the line? Is this going to go in today's cheshbon, or they're going to say, sorry, it's only in tomorrow's cheshbon? Did the teller tell you when it was your turn, oh, I have to go home now, sorry? After all, we're in Medina Yisrael. You always have to worry about that. But you're not worried, because you gave it over to someone that if that teller does that, they're going to go to the other teller, and they're going to make sure they make that deposit. You are calm. Okay? But what are you calm about? Says the Chaim HaLevi, Sheyase HaTov HaNachon Lo. Oh, maybe you shouldn't make the deposit. Maybe someone knows that the dollar is going to go up tonight or down, I don't know, whatever it is. And it's better if you don't make the deposit, because now you'll still have the dollars, of course. You went to the money changer. Now you'll have the dollars, and overnight there's some sort of crisis in America, and the dollar shoots up from 3.6 to 3.8. So, wow. Hashem's going to. So now, in other words, you really have bitachon in the person you told to make the deposit for you, but you really can only have bitachon and be stress-free if you know that that person is going to do what's best for you, and maybe it's not good for you to make the deposit today. And if they know it's not good for you to make the deposit today, they're not going to make it. How do they know, and why would they know? That's why, really, you can only have bitachon in Hashem. But he wants to make sure you understand the definition, and he doesn't want to preach to you. He wants you to think about these things and come to your own realization that you cannot be talking on anyone other than Hashem. Because he's saying the definition of be talking is you're calm, you're relying on the person that's the object of your, you're relying on the object of your be talking. That, what are you relying? I'll make the deposit for you. Yeah, but not really. Because you're relying on that object of bitachon to do what's best for you. And that means if they chap that it's not good for you to make the deposit, because all the police cars have surrounded the money checking, the money changing place. he told me to make a deposit. Yeah, I'm giving them the $10,000 check. But there's police cars all around. They won't make the deposit just because you told them to. If they, you don't see the police cars, right? You went to sleep. But they will do what's best for you. If they see police cars and the head of the place going out in handcuffs, they're not going to make the deposit. And you know that. You trust them. They're going to do what's best for you. By the way, we're laughing, but Hashem sees that. Hashem knows the future. Hashem knows how it fits into your life. So we're laughing, but that's what Hashem sees. Hashem sees the equivalent of the police cars with the sirens and this, and he's not going to make the deposit. Sheyasa hatov v'anochol, he will do what's good and proper and appropriate for you, in your life, for your neshama, for your life, only what's best for you. V'inyan asher yivtachol, whatever the case happens to be, whether it's money, or a job, or a relationship, or a shidduch, or whatever it is. It's not in mitzvahs. We'll learn mitzvahs, you're on your own. Kfi yicholto v'daito, according to the, it's a long sentence, based on the knowledge and ability of the object of your bitachon. Again, bitachon is that you are stress-free because you're relying on the object of your bitachon to do what's best and most appropriate for you in whatever inyan you happen to be dealing with that person, according to the, obviously, it should be obvious, but he wants to give a precise definition, according to the ability and the knowledge of what's good for you and what's appropriate for you. If I don't feel they have the knowledge or the ability, so then I can't be sure that they'll do what's best for me, and then that brings me back to stress, because maybe it's not good for me to do what I think is good for me. But I'm relying on them, and I'm relying on their understanding of what's best for me based on their knowledge and ability. You could have knowledge without ability. You could have ability without knowledge. We need knowledge and ability. Aval ha'ikar, and then he says, the whole thing's five lines, but now already he says an amazing, amazing thing. Amazing. It is absolutely necessary to think and to believe and to be convinced that the person will do what's best for me even if I don't deserve it. It is so, he devotes half the parak to that, and the whole parak is five lines. But Abel ha'ikr, he calls it an ikr, asher bavuru yiyah bitochon min abotayach, the ikr what allows you to have bitochon on the object of your bitochon, v'mipoke, that if this is missing, lo yimotze ha'bitochon, who sheyiyah libo batuach, v'misha yivtach bo, you're convinced, you are able to rely on the object of your reliance, sheyikayim ma'asher omar, that he'll go to the bank and make the deposit, he'll do what he said, the yaseh ma'asher oreh, but he will only do it if it's good for me, the yachshuv olav hatov, v'mesha lo hisna lo, v'lo oreh vasu, even what I didn't talk about, and what was beyond my, the scope of my knowledge. You know, sheyaseh u'nedava v'chesed, In other words, I don't expect, he doesn't really say not deserve it. He says, I don't expect it. It never occurred to me. It's not within the realm of my worldview that not making the deposit would be good for me. Like, it's not in my world. But he's not meshubah to my worldview. The object of my bitachon will do what's best for me. Not really, even I don't deserve it. This is nadova b'chesed, meaning even if I don't expect it, I didn't anticipate it, I never dreamed of it, it's not in my picture of my world. It's not like mechitesi. Never occurred to me. That person is not bound by my... And you could, if you don't have this, you can't have bitachon in someone, in anyone. You're not talking about Hashem. You can't have bitachon in someone if they're limited to my worldview. Then they're limited by all my limitations. If I want instant gratification, if I don't understand that sometimes things are complex and, I only find out when they're good in a couple of years maybe, and sometimes I never find out if they're good. But they are good. The person, the object of my bitachon is not limited to my perspective on what's good for me. So they're not really meshubah to do it. That's the point. I tell you to go to the bank. So you say, I go to the bank. He didn't tell me to do more. Right? I tell Hashem, I want parnosa. I say, I want parnosa. Hashem says, okay. Hashem doesn't say, okay, whatever you say. Hashem says, maybe it's not good for you. Maybe. It's rare. That's why we daven for parnosa, because it's rare. But the point of the Chavis Alvavis, again, I'll say, the essence of bitachon is to be stress-free, to be calm, because you're relying on someone else that's going to take care of it for you, and you're relying on them to do what's best and most appropriate for you according to their ability and knowledge, which will cover whatever I need. And then he says, and this is essential, and without this you can't have it. They'll do even beyond the scope of what I think they should do. They're not limited to my scope. That's why he calls it nedava v'chesed. I tell you to go to the bank for me, but you're going to derech make a deposit for me. You're derech nedava v'chesed, not going. I tell you, go to the store and buy me a sandwich. And you go to the store and you see a health violation on the window. So you're not going to buy it, even though I don't know about that. Or you walk in and there's no health violation sign, but you see things that are gross. So you're not going to buy it for them. And I come out, buy me the sandwich. And you go, if you can explain it to them, you'll say, because if I would have done what you asked, you would have suffered much more than, you would have placated your hunger, but in the long run, you would have suffered a lot. That's what he's saying in Parakala. And you can't, if you don't believe that, you're not going to be able to be talking. And he's not talking about Hashem. Don't worry about Hashem. He wants to define bitachon. To really be stress-free and calm, you have to rely on someone to such a degree. First of all, you have to rely on them to do what you ask. Meaning, I shouldn't have said that. You have to rely on them to do what's best for you, what's most appropriate for you. And they have the ability to do it and the knowledge of doing it. And they'll do what... They'll reach that goal of doing what's best for you, even if it's beyond your scope, your perspective, your picture, your tmuna of whatever it is, of life, or of the particular thing that you're talking about. And they'll do it derech nedava v'chesed, because you didn't ask them to do it. You said, get me a sandwich. So say, okay, he just asked me to get me a sandwich. Why should I do anything? No, they'll go beyond that. They'll do what's best for you. It's buy one, get one free. They'll do buy one, get one free. You didn't even know it's buy one, get one free. But if it's no good for you, because you're on a diet, so then they won't. And you'll have tightness. Why didn't you take advantage of buy one, get one free? But the person had your best interests at heart. Okay, that's Perek Aleph. We'll continue with Mitzvah Shem.